Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, February 21st, 2014, and in this podcast, the third and final one, examining President Johnson's legacy, we will analyze his agenda with an eye toward what it means to us today. Things were changing in the world when LBJ reigned over America. In one sense, his years could be said to be a third American Revolution because of the tremendous increase in American power, in federal power, in bureaucracy, in federal money, to the point where new bureaucracies were set up to run the systems of power and new bureaucrats were appointed to run the new bureaucracies. As President Johnson was quoted as saying, quote, no memorial or oration or eulogy could more eloquently honor President Kennedy's memory than the earliest passage of the Civil Rights Bill for which he fought so long. So he was taking advantage of President Kennedy's death to get passage of his Civil Rights Bill. These are the things that happened during the Johnson and even Kennedy years. When we introduced this series, it was from the standpoint of President's Day. This is just an example, folks, President's Day. But it was LBJ's administration which brought the concept of President's Day to life. See, back then, there was Washington's birthday that happened on the 22nd of February, no matter which day of the week it was. But the bureaucrats up in Washington under Lyndon Johnson decided that we no longer wanted to honor this man, so they decided to change it all to a Monday holiday and simply call it President's Day, a meaningless three-day weekend for federal bureaucrats. Little by little, the federal government has taken over everything, including holidays. February 22nd, Washington's birthday, regardless of the day of the week, it failed, but in 1968, the Uniform Monday Holiday Act changed Washington's birthday to President's Day, always on a Monday, always a three-day federal holiday. Asked by the New York Times how her father would ultimately be judged, Johnson's oldest daughter, Linda Bird Johnson, Rob, now age 69, said, quote, I think that's something the historians will look at. But can you think of where we would be without Lyndon Johnson? If we had not passed a civil rights bill before Daddy, we didn't have any federal aid to education. The immigration bill. Think of what we would be like, indeed, if Daddy hadn't signed that bill. Well, yes, indeed, Miss Johnson, indeed. What would we be like without federal aid to education? Perhaps our children could still read and write. What would we be like without the immigration bill? One could only imagine. Johnson faced quite a battle, even within his own party. Things were not then as they are now. Democrats and Republicans did not eye each other with that much suspicion, although you wouldn't know it from some of the elections. Democrats did not side with Johnson. Johnson faced quite a battle, as I said, even with his own party, to get his agenda through Congress. At that time, presidents did not rule completely as monarchs as they do today, but they recognized they had to at least persuade Congress to go along, to give lip service to them, in other words. After President Kennedy's death, Johnson had to break a filibuster by Southern Democrats. You hear that, folks? His own party filibustered him on his legislation to get the first civil rights bill passed, even his own party. When all the federal money was finally flowing to education, arts, humanities, poverty programs, farmers, urban renewal, beautification, medicine, bureaucrats here, bureaucrats there, federal money flowing to all of them. They were all appointed by Johnson at the federal agencies. They all ran these agencies and they dispersed all the money. When I was in the Marine Corps, one of the things they taught me was that the men I would lead would, as a unit, assume my personality, which is pretty scary when you really think about it. But still, that's exactly what happened. And here, all of these federal bureaucracies started to take on the same personality, the Hillary Clinton personality I can still hear her saying today. What did the president know and when did he know it? Each of the agencies assumed the personalities of the bureaucrats running them. Today we have the same thing. The nation was being changed left and right by all of this legislation. and the people in the Democratic Party who wanted it also wanted to push it forward to even greater heights. President Johnson, despite his agenda, however, was not a popular man in the years 1966 through 68. He was accused of a lack of credibility between what was happening in Vietnam on the ground and what was being said in press conferences. You might remember that as a, quote, credibility gap to those of us who lived through it. His aid to education programs did not achieve the immediate results expected. Research revealed that poverty had more to do with family background and neighborhood conditions than did education. Students not in the poverty programs or education programs continued to do as well or better, but the funding continued anyway as if nothing had happened. New programs were started to funnel money to the other areas to fill in the gaps not covered by the things that were not working, but the things that were not working continued to get their money anyway. Much as today, it was revealed that the programs created dependency, which proved impossible to reverse. The programs sometimes created or led to the very conditions they were designed to relieve. Much of what started in the Johnson years we accept today as a fact of life. Federal control of medicine, public broadcasting, arts, humanities, on and on and on it goes. As Johnson's opinion polls crashed, however, the war went badly. His health began to fail. Candidates such as Eugene McCarthy and Robert Kennedy emerged from his party to challenge him for the nomination. And finally, he said no, he would not accept it. He gave the gold standard of rejections. If nominated, I will not run. And if elected, I will not serve. That is the gold standard, isn't it? Perhaps Johnson's legacy can be summed up best from one of his quotes. This is Lyndon Johnson in the later years. Quote, I knew from the start that I was bound to be crucified either way I moved. If I left the woman I really loved, the great society, in order to get involved in that bitch of a war on the other side of the world, then I would lose everything at home, all my programs. But if I left that war and let the communists take South Vietnam, then I would be seen as a coward and my nation would be seen as an appeaser. And we would both find it impossible to accomplish anything for anybody anywhere on the entire globe. That is the dilemma that this man faced. What do you think about his agenda? Are his daughters correct? He should be remembered for the Civil Rights Act, for elevating people the way he did, or he should be remembered for other things. I'll leave it up to you, folks. I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.